Welcome to Chamber Chat. This is Jack Llewellyn from the Durango Chamber of Commerce. And as I always say, for upcoming chamber events, you can simply go to durangobusiness.org. And I have Kate Hartzell, and you're the executive director, and make sure I get this right, Southwest Colorado Area Health Education Center.
That's right.
Got it all in there.
You got it.
Well, thank you for taking the time to join me. And also, you know, thank you for what your organization does. I'm familiar with a couple levels. I've actually spoken to some of your students over the years. Mm-hmm. And then also the Nightingale Award Ceremony. Do you guys still do that?
We do. I mean, this year's ceremony has been postponed because of the pandemic. But yes, sure, we still do kind of healthcare professional recognition, including Nightingale.
Yeah. And that's why I say thank you for doing what you do, especially this last year, you know. And I'm curious, have you seen more interest from individuals looking at getting into the healthcare industry? Or have you seen people go, no, I'm going to hold off, or has it remained about the same?
You know, it's interesting. I think in some ways we've seen increased interest as people have been inspired by healthcare professionals and their work throughout the pandemic. I think there's also been a little bit of a level of fear of people wanting to know more about the healthcare professions and how people can protect themselves and practices in healthcare. That again are kind of protecting the workforce overall. But I think in general, there's probably been increased interest. I know that in some of the popular media, I've seen articles about increased applications mm-hmm. to medical and nursing school. So I think overall, people have been inspired by healthcare professionals during the pandemic.
And with your organization, you know, is there a target age that you work with?
You know, we are a healthcare professional capacity building organization, and we use a pipelining model. So we start at the beginning of the pipeline, which is with young and or other community members who may be interested in becoming healthcare professionals. We work with health profession students of all ages, kind of enriching their education so they're ready to practice in rural and underserved communities. And then we also work with healthcare professionals working for in professional development and working with them to get trainings for best practices and continuing education. So we work with all ages and every single part of the healthcare professions pipeline.
And if someone's interested in, you know, learning more about how to get involved in the healthcare profession, what's the best way to reach out and find out about your organization?
We have a website, which is swcahec.org. And right now we're working on some pre-healthcare careers content that's going to include educational pathways with very much a local Southwestern Colorado perspective, like how can I become a healthcare professional if I'm a community member in Southwestern Colorado? So we're going to have those education pathways, videos with interviews about people's educational journeys, how they became healthcare professionals. And we also have a lot of different information across the website. They can also contact me or any of the staff at Southwest Colorado AHEC just to get more information about what kind of upcoming events we might have, things they might be interested in. And we even do one-on-one kind of consulting type interviews with people to talk about how they might move forward into a healthcare profession.
So kind of almost like a aptitude type testing, and somebody comes and says, I think I'm interested in this. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody said, I mean, if they want to get into, do you help them decide, is it nursing? Is it EMT work? Is it, you know, so there, I mean, because you think of the healthcare industry and I immediately think doctors, nurses, EMTs, but there's so much more beyond that.
Absolutely right. There's so many different opportunities. I'm in the healthcare professions. I mean, there's really probably something for every type of person, you know, to contribute to overall wellness in our communities. So, you know, we like to give people, especially young people, a lot of exposure to different opportunities, allow them to talk to people, to hear about what some of the different careers entail, what the education looks like, the training, what the different kinds of opportunities are for development. And so we just like to give people a lot of different experiences to allow them to make decisions on their own. I think we definitely just want to, we don't necessarily completely guide them in a certain direction, but we like to give them some experiences that allow them to make informed decisions about their future.
Kind of almost like I think of the shadowing programs that are out there. And, you know, kind of, I always say I'm doing the quotation mark here on Zoom, but test drive your career before you go into it.
It's very true. I mean, and shadowing opportunities are tricky, right? Getting people into healthcare in particular, there's all kinds, especially in small communities, there's all kinds of issues with being in a clinical setting. And certainly the pandemic has made it very difficult with all kinds of protective practices in place and wanting to do what's best for patients and healthcare providers and potential people who may want to do some kind of clinical shadowing. But it really is true that having opportunities to talk to people about their experiences and really informing yourself about what a career entails is a really good way to know what you're getting into, you know, and what you want to commit to. So yes, I think all of those experiences are really important.
Well, and the long-term planning, I always say, well, I never thought I'd be a chamber director, but the one thing I look at, you know, teaching because of longevity, retirement benefits, and the same thing with healthcare, there's a lot of benefits that come with that. And thinking of this as a career versus just a job is so important. And, you know, when you're younger, you go, I don't know what I want to be. Well, this is an opportunity. So with your program, then people go through it and they, you know, become a CNA. I mean, walk me through, I guess, the credentials that they will have if they go through your program.
Well, and we don't necessarily provide any programs that are specific kind of certification programs or education pathways, but we certainly give people the information they need to find those programs and to plan for what it might be like to participate in those programs. And so, yeah, there's all different kinds of pathways into healthcare careers. And like you're saying, it is truly a great career in healthcare because there are so many different ways you can get into it. There's so many different ways you can grow once you're in a healthcare career. There's so many different aspects to health. And so, you know, yes, I mean, if you wanted to start as a CNA, some people, which is a certified nursing assistant, mm-hmm. some people start there and then they go on, they realize they love this career. They go on into nursing, for example, and some of them may complete additional degrees to become a nurse practitioner, you know, that where they have a little more kind of clinical autonomy and independence. So I think, you know, our programming, again, we offer different events that give people exposure to what these careers are all about. And then, like I mentioned, we also do actual events for the healthcare professionals for continuing like medical education or continuing education credits that allow them to expand their practice to meet the needs of people in these rural communities in Southwestern Colorado.
So truly Southwest Colorado AHEC definitely kind of is the test drive, the career before you dive into it.
True, absolutely true. And then for those students who are in healthcare professions schools, like nursing school, medical school, public health programs, we offer, again, enrichment activities that target parts of their education they might not be getting, you know, when they're doing their normal credit hours. And those parts are really specific to serving communities in rural areas. You know, what's it like to have patients in rural areas where referring to different kinds of practices and other healthcare providers is different than in an urban setting? And then working with specific populations, what's their health needs and what are some of the newest best practices in healthcare that can address the needs of certain patients? And so we really kind of also contribute to schooling so that the healthcare professionals who come to our communities have an understanding of what it's like to practice here. And that way they stay, right? Right. They stay, they provide care, and they feel supported and fulfilled in their practice.
It's funny when you're saying that, I can, and how much telemedicine has expanded since COVID, how much that's taken on. So I want to make sure we leave enough time. We've got about 5 minutes left, but the opioid situation, and you and I have talked before about your efforts and what you're working on to get Narcan, right, into the hands of those so they could administer if it was necessary. So talk about that.
Yeah, thanks. We are part of a rural opioid grant. And we got involved in working with opioids because we were involved in setting up, supporting, and promoting trainings for healthcare professionals about opioids and opioid prescribing and best practices in a medical setting. But part of this grant is also a community initiative that encourages people to learn about opioids, the dangers of opioid, especially opioid misuse, and also to learn about the dangers of opioid overdose and overdose prevention in the form of naloxone, which is a prescription medication, although it is available to community members. But we do a training that gives people information about opioids, describes the dangers and risks, and the risks of overdose. And then we also do, as part of that training, we kind of dispel any myths about naloxone. You mentioned Narcan. Narcan is one form of naloxone, which is a nasal spray that really anyone can use. So we dispel any of the myths. We provide information about Narcan and we show how to use it. I mean, in a nutshell, opioid overdose deaths are preventable, mm-hmm. and naloxone is one way to prevent an opioid overdose death. And so we really want to get the information out there about opioids, about naloxone, and we do currently have a supply of Narcan to distribute to people who were training. So I'm really interested in getting potentially people who are interested in having a quick training at a staff meeting or any other kind of event to get the information out there.
You know, I kind of think of this similar to the AEDs that are around town, you know, to the defibrillators, when I think, you know, and you've mentioned too that if you administer the anti-overdose drugs that you won't hurt anybody, let's say, if they're not having an overdose situation.
Correct. Yeah, there's really, really no downside to administering naloxone in its many different forms. Like I said, we generally train on a nasal spray. But you know, naloxone is out there in our community with emergency medical providers and in other different public facilities. And the bottom line is there's really no downside. You know, there's no negative physical impacts. There's no legal implications that are going to turn people away from getting involved in a potential overdose when it's happening. And so, yes, it's really something that the community just needs to know about. They need to know that it exists, where they might get it, how to recognize when it's needed. And we're really hoping to get that message out there in our communities.
And through Southwest Colorado AHEC, obviously you do the training and let everyone know, you know, the symptoms, what to look for. Since we only have about 30 seconds, time always flies, but about 30 seconds left. What's your website again, and how can people, is the information on your website so you reach out to you?
Yes, so it's swcahec.org, and the information is on the website. My email is on the website. They can contact any of the staff members. We're happy to Zoom into meetings. We're happy to do an extra presentation, be part of an event. We're really flexible, and we really want to work with our communities to get this education out there.
And again, any kind of business can apply for this or, you know, get involved. So just think of it as that way. If you have a high traffic area, you know, if you have a business close to a park, I mean, all of these different things to that you can do similar, again, to a defibrillator to hopefully help save a life.
Right. Thank you. Yes. I think, yes, anybody, the trainings are free, like as part of our grant. But yeah, I think your AED kind of metaphor is perfect. Yeah, yeah. We really want the information out there. This is a life-saving piece of knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kate, thank you so much for joining me on Chamber Chat, and thank you again for everything you do.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. We got to send it back to the studios. You've been listening to Chamber Chat. Have a great day.